to shout that he is good. And while you're doing that, would you sit down on your feet in the name of Jesus? And we're going to get into the scriptures. Would you be looking at the book of Luke this morning? Whenever you're there, shout amen. Notice I'm not saying go Pelicans because you have no idea what they're going to do with their lives. If you feel like it's hot this morning, it is. We are still waiting on a part. Just remember, if you feel a little hot, I feel a whole lot hotter being in my 40s and then it's just on stage and there's lights. So just remind yourself, if you feel like this is unbearable, think how bad it must be for me this morning. And so, then just be grateful because we actually have some air blowing. Just a couple of announcements before we get started. If you're a visitor this morning, we say welcome. We pray that our air conditioner will be fixed by next Sunday. We're waiting on that part to come in. If you have a visitor card right behind your chair, grab it. They have a free mug for you full of goodies. We want to encourage you to download that church. How many people are on the Church Center app? Anybody on the Church Center app? It is an incredible place. I'm in some of the groups. I actually joined some of the groups that I'm not even a part of just to be nosy. Can I get an amen? And so I was like, what's going on in these groups, you know? And so they're texting back and forth, offering encouragement. So I want to say to you, download the Church Center app and then find a group. We're going to be opening up more small groups in August. So they're going to be opening up an Amplify, which is our age 18 to 25-year-olds. We'll be meeting at Savannah and Lynn's house. And then we'll be opening up a small group as well. And so at our house. And so if you want to be a part of small groups, we say join us. And then we had camp for our kids this past week. Yeah, and so we want to give it up for Pastor Ted and Carlo and Miss Jeanette, who went with our children, ages 7 to 11. They just got back Thursday at noon, and one of the things they learned was who the Holy Spirit is. And so just encouraged. We had 14 kids go there, so thank you to our leaders giving up your time, and we pray that seed that would be planted would be on good soil. And so we just are praying for that. Next Sunday is our, actually we're going to do a Sunday praying for our kids. Do you know that they go back to school right very quickly? And so all the mothers are hallelujah. If you're not, it's fine. I may or may not be counting down the days. And so, and I love my children, but we're going to pray for them and for teachers and everybody next Sunday at service. And then we're going to do free popsicles after service because it's hot. And so we're going to do free popsicles and any giveaways that we have. And this Friday night is our women's group. And so if you want to come eat with us at El Paso, at 6:30, please do that. Just show up at El Paso. Any lady in the room, you were invited to come with us. Show up at 6:30. We're going to ask for Hope Community. We're going to have a table that we have reserved of at least 20 ladies eating together, good food, and then after we're coming back here to play games. So we want to personally invite you to that. Are y'all ready for the Word of God this morning? I am. Would you look at the Bible, Luke chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verse 1. Persistent prayer pays off. Turn to your neighbor and say, persistent prayer pays off. You know, the enemy will try to steal that from us. He will try to make us think that we can be persistent and we can be praying, but he would make us think that it does not pay off. And this morning, I am like you in the fact that there are things that I have been asking the Lord for years. And I've not seen an answer. Anybody in the room like that? I have asked the Lord for years for property and just things in my personal life as well. I'm praying for a prayer request. It's 8 years in the making. In fact, I looked at my journal a couple of months ago, and I saw that same request 8 years ago. The same exact thing that I had been praying for and fasting. We fast here every Monday. Join us. We pray as a staff every Tuesday at 9. You come and join us. We pray with Mr. McKinley's group every Sunday right next door in the ladies' conference room at 9:30. Join us. But you ever been in a time of prayer, and you've been praying for something for 8 years or 10 years, or if you're a little bit older in the room, just pretend like you're not, but like 20 years and 30 years, and you're asking the Lord and you don't see what you have been praying for? Anybody like that in the room this morning? Okay, just me and a couple other of you all. But all of you, rest of you are obviously holy, and the Lord just does whatever you want, whenever you want. He's like Santa Claus, right? And so he's not. And then it's hard to understand why, God. Why do these prayers that I continue in, and God, I quit, that becomes the next answer. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself on this side of quitting. And this morning, I want you to be encouraged as we get into the story. Persistent prayer pays off. That's hard to say, so hopefully I can get that. There were three people in the history. I mean, there's like tons of people in history that had persistence. I'm not even talking about prayer. I'm just talking about being persistent. You ever had KFC chicken? Anybody ever had KFC chicken? This dude, Colonel Sanders, if it's not your favorite chicken, it's okay. We all know Popeyes is the best. Okay, and so we're good. And so, you know, this story, he did not start KFC chicken until he was 60 years old. Colonel Sanders, I don't know what he did in his life before. Actually, he waited until he received his first Social Security check at 60. Now I think it's 65. But he received his first his check, and he decided that he was going to start a chicken shop, fried chicken. And he would fall asleep every night working on it from the time that he was 60 years old until 73. And sometimes they said he would even sleep in his car because he did not have a place to stay. It was hard work. He loved doing it, and people loved the food. And when he sold his company, he earned $2 million, amen, and lived out of the rest of his life in comfort because he was persistent. Somebody say persistent. Now, the next company, you probably know of this one. Everybody knows who this is. This is iconic. In fact, I looked it up. Everyone around the world knows Starbucks. It is one of the most recognizable symbols next to the cross of Jesus, McDonald's, and Superman. Those are things that are iconic to the world. Like, if you go in another country, there will be a Starbucks. But do you know that this man, what is his name? Howard Schultz is the owner, chairman of Starbucks. That he went to over 200 banks asking for a loan for this idea that he had. In fact, he went to 242 different banks. Can you imagine going to 242 different banks asking for a loan for this idea that he had of starting his first coffee shop? After a year, he went through a year of being rejected. He was able to secure the $400,000 that he needed, not from a bank. He secured it from a doctor and two other individual investors. And today, the brand employs 137 people, 1,000 people around the world. You know it as Starbucks. The last one I want to share today before we get into the word, you probably know about the guy Thomas Edison. You are in light today because of the man, Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison is the definition of perseverance. He was considered unteachable at an early age. He didn't do well in school. He didn't do a lot of things right in his life. And the inventor, he went on to eventually create the electric light bulb. But while most people thought he had failed because he had tried over 1,000 different ways to make that light bulb work. And here's what he said, and I want you to know this. He said simply this. He said he found over 1,000 ways to not build a light bulb, but he found one correct way. And today we're in the benefit of a man named Thomas Edison because of persistence. Everybody say persistence. Look at Luke 18 in chapter 1. This morning, we're going to be talking about the parable of the persistent widow. Now, you might not know what the word persistent means, so here's a definition of persistent. It is inclined to persist, having staying qualities, tenacious of position or of purpose. And I love the back end of this definition. It says this: it's remaining beyond the period when parts of the same kind sometimes fall off. Now, Thomas Edison was persistent. The owner of Starbucks was persistent. In fact, Colonel Sanders, the designer of Kentucky Fried Chicken, was persistent. Everybody say persistent. So we're looking at a persistent widow. Now in chapter 18, look at verse 1, and it says this: then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Other versions say do not lose heart. Now, I want to talk this morning about the passage, Luke 18, 1 through 8. But the audience of who he was talking to, look at the first couple of words. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable. So again, he's telling them a story, but he wants them to understand that this is not going to be just an easy story and at the end we get a point, but rather to dig in and to look at what is God really saying to his disciples. This is not people that pass by and hear a story and then go on and do their own thing. This is to a person who is asking the Lord, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Christ. I want to love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. That's who Jesus is talking to this morning. And the context is that they should always pray and never give up. Look at verse 2. He said this, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Now that's interesting because a judge should do both. A good judge should fear God and also be concerned about the people. The parable of this story is about a widow, which we'll see in verse 3, and a judge. But this judge was corrupt. In fact, this is probably one of the more corrupt judges in the time that Jesus is telling a story. He said that there is a judge that doesn't care about God, and he also doesn't care about the people that he is serving. So there is a system in place that is corrupt. That's called injustice or injustice. And while this story is teaching us clearly about prayer, about being persistent, it also has the undertone of justice that will be served to make things right. Have you ever been under a boss who is unjust? Have you ever been in a school system that favors one kid over the other? Have you ever been in a place in your life where there is systems in place that make it good for some people but make it bad for others? This is the epitome of the story that we're reading this morning. There was a widow who needed help. In fact, that was the exact call of what we were to do was pure religion. And James says that we are to care for widows. Yet there was a judge who was doing just the opposite. So there was no justice by the judge. Now, one of my favorite heroes of the civil rights movement, John Perkins, he writes in his book, Let Justice Roll Down. And if you've not read it, you got to read it. I'm actually reading it again this weekend. And it says this, justice is any act of reconciliation that restores any part of God's creation back to the original intent. We have it in our pledge, and justice for all. We have a purpose or an image. When I think about justice that way, John Perkins says, it doesn't surprise me at all that God loves justice. It inclines both the acts of social justice and the restorative justice found on the cross. God longs to make things right. He was concerned about the widow. He was concerned, remember, the Israelites underneath slavery for 400 years in a systemic slavery system where they could not get out, and yet God heard the prayers of his people for 400 years, and that seems like a really long time, but there is still a God that hears. In fact, the minor prophets and the major prophets, one of my favorite is Amos, and he says this in Amos chapter 5, verse 24, he says, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God cares about making things right. He cares about bosses that are corrupt. He cares about systems that are in place that keep people low instead of bringing them up to the elevation that God has planned for them. God is a God who cares about justice. He wants to make things right. And he's always going to side on the person that is seeking for justice. Now, in the Jewish community, a judge was expected to be impartial. A judge was to judge righteously. He was to be an ultimate example, almost like one of that of God. In fact, in Deuteronomy 1 in verse 16, and it says this, this is one of the laws of the Old Testament. It says, and I charge your judges at that time. Hear the cases between your brothers and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the alien who is with them. You shall not be in partial judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. So there's no like partiality. There's no favoritism in judgment. There's no like you did this, so God loves you more, and you did this, so God doesn't love you. God extends his justice to everyone. And even in this scriptures, he wants the judges to be full of justice. It says, you shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God. Now, in this story that Jesus tells, justice was not being served. He didn't care about God, the judge didn't, and he didn't care about people. So there was a corrupt judge in place. There can be corrupt leadership that God allows in place over people. In fact, this is all over scripture. This is not easy to understand, but in John 19:11, Romans 13:1, 1 Peter 2:13, that there can sometimes be a system in place, or a ruler in place, or a boss in place, or a leadership position in place that is not like God, and so it is unjust. And God sees it, and though he allows it to happen, he still says there is a responsibility on our end to make things right. So look at verse 3, because our responsibility as disciples is to be persistent in prayer, not to always argue or yell or to cause a big stink, but to be faithful on our knees. Look at verse 3. It says, and there was a widow in the town who kept coming up to him, the judge, with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. So here's the unjust judge, and here is the persistent widow, and the persistent widow is saying to the judge, please grant me the grace that I need. Please help me in my time of need. And she is crying out to the judge. Now, a widow in Old Testament, and I want to show you one more law. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 through 18, the widow is someone that we are to take care of. It says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bride. So you see that for the judge, but you also see this in the case of who God is. It says he executes justice for the fatherless. Somebody say fatherless. And for the widow, somebody say widow. And he loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. So God cares about the fatherless. If you have no father this morning, God sees you. If you are without a husband or without a wife and you are a widow, God understands what you're going through. If you're a sojourner and you're just passing through the land, God of heaven says, I am about you and your life and what's going on in your life. In fact, he created rules in place to care for those very people. However, the judge was unjust, but the widow was persistent. Somebody say persistent. I want you to look at verse 4. It says, for some time he refused. Now we're talking about the judge. But finally, he said to himself. Now listen, everybody knows who the judge is, but he even knows it about himself. Look what he says about himself in verse 4. It says, even though I don't fear God and I don't care what the people think. So not only was this true with the system, he knew it to be true about himself. It's unbelievable to me that there will be people in leadership that don't care about God. They don't care about people, and they are so brave to even announce it about themselves. And he continues to say this. But look at verse 5. It says, yet, everybody say yet. Now, if you're circling notes in your Bible, or if you want to just circle the word yet. Because now the whole story is getting ready to change because of this yet. It says, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. That's interesting. Now, he continued to deny her justice, but because she didn't give up, because she keeps on coming over and over again, eventually she wears the judge down. Even though he's corrupt, he doesn't care about God, and he doesn't care about people, he's tired of hearing her voice. I have kids. I have 4 kids. Kids can be a little persistent. I have one individual kid, and she allowed me to say this story, so now it's out of two that I have. If you know, I have four, two boys and two girls. But there is one particular kid of mine. Every time I read this parable, I think about her, because she is persistent. She will not stop. If she needs you to do something for her, she will find you. If you're hiding in a any place in your house, like if you're hiding in your room and your door is locked, she'll find a pick and unlock the door. If she needs to go even further in and now you're in the bathroom/closet just so that you can take a breath, she will find a way into the bedroom and the bathroom and the closet. If I'm here at work and I'm just trying to hide and I found some place in this building that I can hide, and she's persistent, Mom, and she keeps on, and it could be something like, Mom, can I just eat noodles? And I'm like, no, you can't eat noodles, because noodles aren't that healthy for you at 10 o'clock in the morning or for breakfast. And then finally, she'll say it again, Mom, can I eat noodles? And I'll say the same thing, no, you can't have noodles because it's not healthy for you. And finally, as I'm hiding or trying my hardest to like just get away from the nagging, I could almost say. And so I'm sitting there, and finally, because she is persistent and doesn't stop, and eventually I'm just, go eat noodles. Just go. Go eat noodles. Like, I don't care. Whatever kind of noodles you eat, like if it's eight, I don't care. Just do whatever it is that you're going to do. And she's sitting there and like, I got noodles. Mom, can you make them for me? What? What? It's true. Because she's persistent, and I know she'll ask me the next 10 times to make them for her. Fine. Not only can you have noodles for breakfast, you can have them, and I'll make them for you. What would you like me to do? Anything else that you would like me to do? Because that persistence pays off. And eventually, and I love her, and she knows that, and she's probably smiling, and I'm not looking at her so that she can smile even more, but that persistence pays off. And Ted and I think she's the perfect example. And every time we hear her, and sometimes we just give in just because of this parable, just because we love her. And noodles aren't terrible, so we're good. And so it's okay if you eat them for breakfast sometimes, I guess. I don't know. But persistence pays off. And the widow, not because the judge was good, not because the judge loved people, not because the judge cared about her or her plight or what was going on, but because she was persistent, because she became a person that said, I'm going to keep on nagging you. I have an individual in my life right now that I am nagging. I am emailing him daily. I am calling his office daily. I even stopped by this week because there's something that I need for God to do, and I need something to happen. I don't know that he's just or unjust. I don't know what's going on in his life, but I know what I need my God to do. And so I just ask him kindly on the internet through email, and I keep on. And then I go to his office, and the office is working like, you're here again? Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm going to show up until you guys decide that this is for the good of the community. And so I keep on going, and I don't know what the Lord is going to do, but all I know is I'm going to be persistent. I am going to be persistent. Now, I'm praying. Yes, I am. But I'm also putting an action to my prayer. You notice that? The widow doesn't just say, well, I'm just going to pray to God. God sees, yes, but he also asks us to put action. He asks us to be persistent. He says, what is it that you are willing to do on your end? And right now, I'm looking like a fool. I think he's going to block my emails at some point. I think eventually they're going to see me knocking out, oh, it's that woman, please lock the doors. But I know what I need my God to do, and I know what he's already done, and I know that he has a plan for this place and this position. And so, like, I'm God, all I can do is be persistent and not give up and not lose heart because of what we see around us. But I don't have a choice but to lay in the hands of a faithful God who said he loves you and he protects you. Now, in this story, God is not the judge. There's a confusion of that, and God is not the judge. In this story, the judge is the judge, and it's just an example of us to be persistent. Eventually, that judge says to himself, well, I don't fear God, I don't care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. This woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out. I pray that we would be people that wear people out. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said, right? If you're underlining, just underline that. Yet was important. But when the Lord speaks, it gets even more important. Look at verse 6. It says this. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust says, the judge says. And will not God, somebody say God. God is just. The judge was unjust. And it says this, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, those who cry out to him day and night? Remember how this story started? It was a parable to teach his disciples how to pray and not give up. So in the middle of this message, God is saying, I want you to pray and not give up. And here's how I want you to pray. I want you to be persistent in your prayer. I want you to keep on coming to me because I love you and I care about you. And I want to see justice being done on the earth. And so Jesus in verse 7 says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? That is the authority that we have on our lives. And when I wake up, God, I am crying out to you. God, when I go to sleep, I'm crying out to you. God, I am crying out day and night. It's okay that I have a prayer in my journal that's 8 years old. God hasn't answered yet, but he will. God hasn't moved in that position yet, but if I am persistent and if I continue in my prayers and if I begin to believe God, God will do what he said he was going to do because he is a just Father. He wants things to be made right in your life. He wants things to be made right in your family. He wants things to be made right in your generation. This Thursday, there was a lady come into our building at Hope Community, and she walks in, and she's asking for food, and I don't have much. I have a little bit of bread that's already out there. And I said, what's your name? And she wouldn't tell me her name. I said, I need to know your name. I need to pray for you. And so she says, I don't know my name. I said, I know you know your name. You got to tell me. So she began to tell me her life story. When she was 3 years old, her mother died out on the street somewhere. She said, somebody took me in, but nobody in my family had a room to take me in. So she said, I went to somebody else's house. And by 11 years old, that person kicked me out of the house. By 12 years old, I had a baby. She said, I have no one who cares about me or loves me. I said, you walk into a place this morning where there is someone who cares about those things being made right. And she said, I don't believe it. She said, I don't believe that there's a God that loves me. I don't believe that there's a God who cares for me. I said, but he sent you here at this moment to hear from me that's going to tell you that right now God cares and he wants to see. He saw all that garbage in your life. He saw what the enemy tried to take from you at 3 years old and at 11 years old, at 12 years old when you're a young mother and you're single. But I wanted to tell her on Thursday, I said, God cares about you and he is persistent over you. He isn't going to let you just fade away. And I said, if that's not here on this side of heaven, I said, my God is preparing a mansion for you. And she looked at me and I said, yeah, for you, but I don't have anything. You don't need anything for this mansion. God's already paid for it. My Bible says that there will be no tears on your eyes. And as she's weeping, I said, there is a God who cares about you and has taken the time out of his schedule to have us meet up together so that I can confirm that who God says about you. And all you have to do is believe in your heart and trust with your mouth and say, God, I cry out to you. And that Thursday, she did. Persistence, prayer pays off. There's a persistence that we are to have in our way of life. Look at verse 7. It says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? God is coming to bring justice. God is coming to those who cry out to him day and night. Keep on reading. It says, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he, God, will see that they will get justice and quickly. That word is a little confusing because you would say, well, I've been praying and I've lasted a day. I've lasted 6 months. I've lasted a year. And shouldn't God have come quickly by now? And really a better definition of that word would be suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. Like when somebody suddenly appears. You're praying, you're persistent, you're paying, you're asking the Lord day and night, you're crying out to God. It's not as much of a quickly, because we said, well, Jesus will come quickly, and he's 2,000 years later. Or they were waiting on the Lord to come as a baby, and they were waiting and waiting, and that wasn't a quickly thing in our mind, because we're like drive-through kind of people, like I want it my way right away. And so we look at our lives and say, well, God hasn't done it yet, because it wasn't quickly. But God is saying, I want to do it suddenly. There's a difference. And so God wants to move in your life and say, as we persistently pray, God can do something suddenly. You ever had a suddenly prayer answered? Like this one crazy prayer I prayed this year, my little same daughter, she gives me a lot of examples. And so I'm sitting there and there's things going on in her life and I don't know how to pray. So God, I said that. God, I don't even know how to pray, but I need you to remove that situation in her life the next day they come into school. Mom, you're never going to believe this, but that little girl is going to another school. And I said, hallelujah, God answered my faithful. It was just a suddenly. It was like in a moment. It was like God just heard. This is not all the time, but this is sometimes that God will move suddenly. Somebody say, suddenly. And the point is that we are to be persistent with it. That God hears and that he sees and he knows. Will he keep putting them off? In verse 8, it says, I tell you this, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, and he ends the story with a question. And this morning, I end my sermon with a question. However, so you can never, so there's a yet, the Lord said, and then there's an however. This always means that this could come out one or two ways. Like there's a end game. It's really up to us. So Jesus asked in the beginning, remember, he says to be faithful, to not give up, not lose heart, to continue in prayer. But at the end of the message, at the end of this little story, he says these words. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes back, that's for us, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find a people who are praying persistently? And that's a question that we need to look at our lives and we need to answer this morning. Can we play some music? God knows that your heart, your life has had disappointments. God knows that your heart, your life has had loss. You might have had some loss. God knows that your life has had injustices. By that, I mean that things were done to you that were wrong. And that's probably anybody in the room that doesn't need to be a certain way. God probably knows that there are persecutions that happened in your life. Maybe when you chose Jesus, there was family that weren't family anymore, friends that left you. God knows that there are some people in this room this morning that have been praying persistently for a year, 2 years, 8 years. That there is a persistence in your prayer. And Jesus says it like this. He says, don't lose heart. Don't give up. We don't all get immediate answers when we pray. Our definition of swift justice is not the same as the Lord's. But a genuine disciple of Christ, and remember, that's who he was talking to. He wasn't talking to people who just came and go and come in and 3 weeks and they're out and a month later. No, he's talking about people who are like, I want to die with Jesus saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the end game. Like that's where I want. I want heaven to be my home. That's who he's talking to in this story. And to those people in the room, he's saying, praying with never giving up. You can fully count on the Lord to answer. I forget who had said it a couple weeks ago, but they said, you know, a prayer is one thing that never dies. We'll pass, but our prayers will be still working on this earth. So maybe you're praying for a kid. Don't give up. Maybe you're praying for a situation at your work, and it hasn't changed yet. Be persistent. Maybe you struggle with depression or suicidal thoughts, and it's like, God, I just can't move out of this. And the Lord would say, just be persistent. He said, there is a corrupt judge, and not because he's good or loves people, but just because he did what the widow needed. But there is a heavenly Father who is just, and he loves you. And he's waiting for you. Not to lose heart. Not to throw in the towel. But that you, like this widow, would be persistent. So you wake up tomorrow morning and you pray. Join us. We fast. on Mondays. I usually fast specifically for an individual in the church. And sometimes it's, you can give up. You're like, oh, I don't see God moving. Keep on fasting. Maybe you would say, well, I did go to McKinley's group, Mr. McKinley, and I just don't see the effects of my prayer. Keep on. Just be faithful. Just be persistent. Just be like this widow, that the Lord knows you and he understands you. Be faithful, never ceasing, persistent in your prayer. So the question is, like Jesus, have your prayers been lacking? Have you lost heart? Have you given up? Will Jesus find faith on the earth when he returns? If that's you this morning, and probably some of us in the room could say that's me, can I just pray over you? I'd love to have an altar call and we just like rally it up and pray, but really this is just a practical message that you walk out of these doors and you commit again in your heart to say, okay, God, I'm going to pray. Okay, God, I'm going to be persistent. Maybe that's just like showing up to church every Sunday. I'm just going to be persistent in that. I don't know what the Lord through the Holy Spirit is calling you to, but I know he wants us to be persistent. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand? You say, I just need some help. I just need the Holy Spirit. Just don't look around, eyes closed. And you just need the help to be persistent again. Can I just pray with you, over you? Lord Jesus, you see our hands lifted. God, it is so tempting to be influenced by what we see in the physical. And God, for that we repent. God, that we have been moved by what our natural eyes see. God, we know that's not faith. And so we ask you to forgive us. And God, instead I pray this morning that we, with all of our hands lifted, Lord, that we would be a people that are persistent in prayer. God, we are persistent in prayer for our families, for generations. God, for this church, for our schools, our jobs. God, those assignments that you have given us. The very thing that the enemy would want to see, Lord, is for us to quit. He would want us to see us to throw in the towel and say, that's it, I'm done praying for them. I'm done praying for this situation. But Lord, I pray that that would never be our resort. That would never be what we cry out, Lord. Instead, we say, help me, Holy Spirit, to be persistent in prayer, believing even when I don't see. God, we're going to need your kind of faith to do that. God, we're going to need your kind of love to continue. So I pray, Lord God, that this would be a people that never give up in prayer, that we are persistent. When we walk out the door this morning, that we will be persistent. Not even if things go crazy this afternoon, that we'll find ourselves back on our knees tomorrow morning. We'll be back in prayer tomorrow evening. God, help us to believe again, God, that you are a God who sees us, who loves us, who cares about us. And you have a plan for us, God. God, I speak that. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tara. Such an awesome message, reminding us not to give up in prayer, to be persistent. A takeaway I had from that was that God always hears. And sometimes when we don't get that answer right away, we think he doesn't hear, but he does. And I want to close out speaking a blessing over you that comes from the book of Ephesians. In fact, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and he was telling them about, he was revealing this mystery of the gospel. And the mystery is that we all have access to God's kingdom now, the Jew and the Gentile alike. That's you, that's me. And we have access to his kingdom, access to his promises, access to his blessings. So I'd like for you to stand as Lynn had us do last week, and lift your arms. And as we lift our arms, it's a sign of surrender, but it's also showing that we depend on him and we are agreeing with his word. Amen. In him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how high and how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.